We're joined by the general manager of the Edmonton Oilers, pulled off one trade today, likely had many other conversations. And Dmitry Kulikov is the newest member of the Edmonton Oilers. Ken Holland joins us now. Ken, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Good, Jason. Nice to be with you.
Well, Ken, you've been through this rodeo many times when it comes to trade deadline. And I know that, like, your team, it was pretty obvious, salary cap plays a factor, no question about it. I've been crunching some numbers about your team, and I realized that, you're 5-on-5 scoring, you're 7th best in the NHL. So scoring isn't a problem. Is it safe to say that goals against 5-on-5 was your main focus, and you're looking to guys who help could potentially improve that?
Yes. I think... as you get into, when you play in the regular season, there's 31 teams in the league. And then when you get into the playoffs, you go from 31 to 16, and you're playing one of the best 16. And then if you win a round, you're down to the final eight. And the longer you go, the harder it is that it gets to score. You've got to find ways to win low-scoring games. I think we've done a good job of scoring, winning some games, many games low-scoring over the last 4 or 5 weeks, but looking ahead to the playoffs and who we, if we continue to play the way we're playing, and play our way into the playoffs, you're going to meet a real good team right off the bat. And bringing in a guy like Kulikov on the left side, he provides experience. He's got, he's a bigger body. He's got some physicality to his game. He can, penalty kills and, you get the puck in the hands of our forwards, so we can spend less time in our zone and go north. He's not a big offensive guy, but he can make a first pass and get us going in the other direction.
Ken, the one other obvious position is second line left wing. If you were looking for an upgrade, were you close on any teams? Taylor Hall, we know you said you weren't really close on him. Mike Hoffman's name was bantied about. I'm not sure if that was anything ever real from the actual Blues themselves. But were there any players that you could see as guys who could possibly be a second line left winger that you had any serious conversations with?
Not really. I think, all you got to do now, Jason, is look at the trades that were made in the last 3 days. I'm a fan of other sports too, and then just they had like that player that was moved, and then the price that it was, and then obviously factoring in the cap. There's also the cap. So the answer is no. We didn't really. I kicked some tires on lots of players. At the end of the day, made this deal, and felt that good about our defense. Like you said, we score goals. Obviously, a lot of the offense comes from Connor and Leon, but they're superstars, and they're, no matter what I do, they're still going to get lots of our offense. Because they're superstar players, they get lots of ice time. They play on the power play, and obviously, the other teams are going to do everything they can to try to shut down Connor and Leon on a night-to-night basis. When you get into the playoffs, that's what this game is all about: matchups and trying to neutralize the other team's best players and your players spring free. So, going into it was either to try to do something up front or to do something in the back end, and ultimately, I made this decision.
General Manager of Edmonton Oilers joins us, Ken Holland. Ken, the number of trades and the players moved was a little bit lower than we've seen historically. Was that more of the cap issue that everyone's getting into? Was it a bit more about some of the quarantine issues that might be happening across border?
That's a great question, because I would have thought that there was going to be less trades this year, and I think there's more than normal. I think I attribute it to parity, competitive balance. When you look at the standings in each division, in some cases there's two and three teams at the top of the standings in each division, and then there's maybe a team or two that are fighting to get in. And those teams that are at the top of each division felt like if they made a move or two, that it could swing the balance in their favor. So I think that the number of moves is really. Lots of teams, if you're a playoff team, there seems to be separation too. There's there's three that are ahead, and then there's a couple on the bubble, and then there's teams that are out, and those teams that are ahead and they're close felt that again they wanted to make a move to try to make themselves a little bit better, a little bit deeper, and lots of teams think that they've got a chance to go on a playoff run.
Ken, you know, you spoke a little while ago about the depth of your team, specifically kind of your third and fourth lines. You're pretty comfortable with what those guys are bringing. Is it become what you'd hoped? Is a energetic kind of forechecking group of six players?
Yeah, I mean, not so much obviously in Calgary. I mean, that was a tough night, but I think overall, if you look at our season, we got off to a 3-6 start, and it was a bit of a tough start. We were giving up lots of goals, and then I thought that we kind of steadied the ship. And I think the last 22-9-1 or something. The last 32 games, we won 22 out of 32, and we won some big games on the road, and lots of close games. And I think that I think we're developing an identity. I'm big on goals against, and I think, over the last 30 games, I'm not sure where we are in the league in goals against. I think we're about the middle of the pack right now, 15, 16, 17 over the games, but certainly we've tightened that up over the last 32. So you got to keep the puck out of your net. You know, special teams, keep the puck out of your net. Obviously secondary scoring, but players chipping in. And I think that there's been some chemistry developed between JJ Kara and Archibald and Devin Shore over the last few games, and so over the last 14 games here, we're trying to find a little more chemistry and some combinations. And I know it obviously for the longest time Connor and Leon were in separate lines, and now they were together for a period of time, and I, the other night Coach Tippett broke them apart, and I'm not sure what he's thinking heading into the weekend and the next 14 games. But you want to have depth, and you got to check down the roster. They got to check, and guys are killing penalties and keep the puck out of our net, and then chip in with the odd goal. And the more goals you give, the more goals you give up, the more secondary scoring you're needing. The less goals that you give up, you don't need quite as much secondary scoring. So, today's move to bring in Dmitry Kulikov was to try to make us a little harder to play against and a little bit deeper and a little more experience on the left side. Caleb Jones and William Lagesson have done a really good job, but they've never really been in the playoffs before, maybe other than that little bit in the bubble against Chicago. And we're gonna get into a 7-game series here against a real established team. I just felt that I needed to get a little more veteran experience on the back end, but I like the way our team has been playing over the last 32 games. We're keeping the puck out of our net, we're checking, we're doing the things that I think you need to do to be in a hockey game on an every night basis, and then you got to find ways to win.
Ken Holland joins us. Ken, you've watched a lot of playoffs up close and personal. When you look at the overall makeup of your team, and it's a process, of course, is there a concern at all about the lack of size overall up front and on your back end?
Well, I think there's always, until you win the Stanley Cup, I mean, I can tell you how many years we agonized in Detroit, leading up to 1997 when we won the Stanley Cup. It was a work in progress. And then, I remember when Edmonton beat us in the playoffs in 2005-06, we had 126 points. And, in the Detroit marketplace, there was too many Europeans, there was too many small players. It's all the same questions. And over the course of the next couple of years, we made some decisions, and we eventually won the Stanley Cup in 2008 and went to Game 7 against Pittsburgh in 2009, went to the finals in back-to-back years. So is there things that we want to add or change as we go forward? Absolutely. But I feel like in the 18 or 20 months that I've been here, the Dave Tippett's been here, I think the players have bought into how we need to play to win. And certainly I know that when you get into a playoff series, you got to be big, you got to be heavy, you got to be hard. And some of that has to be internal growth. And I guess I would say to you, that's probably one of the reasons that we drafted, you know, if you look at the last couple of drafts, Broberg on defense at 6'4" and Holloway, you know, left wing center at 6'1", 210 pounds. You know, we're trying to make decisions as we go forward to get to do some of the things you're talking about, but it's not like there's a store that I can go across the street and go shopping at and pick these things up. You know, this is an ongoing process that's going to take time, and we're going to keep at it, and the ultimate goal is to win the Stanley Cup.
We know it, Ken, to be, as we're joined by Ken Holland, GM of the Oilers. To be fair, there was an opportunity a couple of times for you to either trade for and or sign a Jason Strudwick to those Red Wing teams. Did you not know who my agent was, or what was going on at those times?
Well, I thought Lidstrom Strudwick. I'll stick with what I got.
Yeah, probably a good choice.
You know what, Jason? You're definitely the kind of player that a team would love. Because, you know, come playoff time, you're begging. You had a physical element to your game, and certainly respect everything that you accomplished in your career. But I was blessed with one of the greatest left shot defensemen in the history of the National Hockey League. So that certainly took a lot of pressure off the left side. He ate up about 30 minutes tonight.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, this is completely off topic, but I when we play, you know, you play the game and you're kind of watching the game, but I would watch Lidstrom. Like, that's who I'd watch. And I got to tell you, as an opponent, one of the things I hated the most about him, and I loved him, but I hate him, was that our team would try to dump it in and he would knock it down with his stick. And it's like, it's a full on slap shot and he'd just knock it down, make the play, pass it up to you. Doesn't matter. Fedorov, Eisman, whatever. I mean, he to me was so frustrating. And you must have loved that at the gym. And I'm sure your coaches were all over, because it just killed any kind of forecheck. It didn't become a forecheck. It was actually a breakout for the Red Wings when you try to dump it past Nick.
Yeah, I know he was unreal. I was very fortunate to watch him at a front row seat, and the great ones are just a joy to watch, and they make the game look so easy. And as you know, the game isn't that easy for everybody. You know, we've got some players like that on our Edmonton Oilers team now, and you know, they just make the game look. They do things that nobody else can do, and you just marvel on an every night basis at the things that they can do that nobody else can do. And certainly Nick Lidstrom was one of those players, and we're fortunate here that with the Oilers that we've got some of those too.
You know, Ken, obviously, you know what you've got here with the Edmonton Oilers, but with this year with COVID and being, you know, limited travel and some players not playing, does it make it, or how much harder does it make it for you to kind of, you know, foresee what is coming and any of the draft picks and or guys you have that are playing around, you know, around the hockey world?
Well, that's a great, I mean, my job is, in my mind, is totally different this year. You know, in a normal year now, for example, trade deadline's over, I'd be jumping on a plane tomorrow and I'd be heading somewhere. I'd be going to Bakersfield, or I'd be going to the World 18 tournament. It was supposed to be in Plymouth, Michigan this year. It's in Dallas. I'm not going to go south of the border because I got a quarantine coming back. You know, I'd be going down to look at some draft eligibles. I'd go to the World Championships. I'd watch Bakersfield in the playoffs. You'd come back, you'd watch your team down the stretch run and in the playoffs, as you go through the whole process of trying to get ready to make decisions in the off season. And you know, I would have been at the World Junior and, you know, lots of places. And you know, you see lots of managers out on the road during the winter at pro games and amateur games scouting. Well, every manager, certainly in Canada, we've been with our team the entire year because you can't, you know, obviously if you leave the bubble, you got to quarantine to get back in the bubble. So, you know, my what I've done this year, obviously, is watch more games on TV. I've always communicated. We've probably communicated more. We've had pro scouts. We've had Zoom calls every month. You know, in the past, we'd go out and do our games, and we'd come and bring everybody in for a meeting at a central location, and go back out and do that two or three times a year. Well, now it's monthly Zoom calls. So the way we do our business and the way I'm doing my business this year is totally different than in normal times.
Glenn, Ken Holland joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. So Ken, I know, you know, the trades like this don't happen overnight. You're talking to Kulikov. I think you mentioned earlier that there's about a week, you know, back and forth going on with them. You mentioned there wasn't other, like, top forward guys. You know, there'd been lots of insiders claiming, hey, maybe Luke Glendening. Was there any other players, you don't have to say their names, but was there any other deals you were actually close to making in conversations leading up to today?
Well, I think there was some, there was two or three deals that we explored. At the end of the day, you know, it didn't work for one side or the other. You know, basically you do, you know, you communicate, and then, you know, there's two ways to get a deal done, I guess. Or, I mean, one is obviously you target a guy and you just go out and you pay a price. And even if you pay too much, you get the guy that you want. And then the other way is obviously you play poker a little bit, and you know you kind of identify a number of players and you express some interest to the team, and then you know there's some back and forth and they're kind of working around, and eventually you funnel your way into doing a deal. So I did kick, you know, yesterday and today I did kick some tires on a couple of other things. Probably was somewhat close on a couple of other deals, but. Obviously got this one done and feel good about it.
So when you say you're close, like, is it one where you were, okay, I think we're close, and then the other team backs out? I'm assuming over your career that's happened. How frustrated
you know,
do you get?
Close would be, like, you know, we're talking the price, and then you know, it's not like it's ready to pull the trigger, but, I mean, there's enough communication going back and forth that they know you've got interest in their player. And you know that you're sort of in the ball game in terms of the assets that it's going to take to do that deal. And then maybe you leave that and you go to some other calls and something else comes up and it sort of, I don't want to say distracts you. You go in another, I mean, you're still aware of that, but maybe you head in another direction a little bit because, you know, going into this, it's not like I went into this trade deadline saying I want a left shot defenseman. I went into the trade deadline saying there's some different things that I'm looking for, identifying all the players, and then, you know, you're always trying to, you know, if I send my wife to the mall looking for buy a purse, I'm hoping she's going to buy a cheap purse and not the most expensive purse that she lays her eyes on. You know, so, you know, I'm the same thing. I'm shopping and you're trying to find. You know, good value for what you're looking to spend. You know, one year at the deadline, I spent three first round picks to get Chris Chelios. You know, we'd won the Stanley Cup twice in '97 and '98. We were going for the three-peat. Chris was 37 years of age, and I spent three first round draft picks. And we knew what we wanted. He was a veteran guy, and I spent the price. And then we didn't win the Cup that year, but we won the Cup in '02 with Chris Chelios. You know, 3 years later. So there's different ways. It's not like if you identify one person, then you go after it. But there's lots of different directions that I could go. I explored different directions.
Ken, we appreciate that. Thanks for this. As far as quickly on Evan Bouchard, because we get a lot of texts from listeners, they always want to know about Evan Bouchard. Obviously, Kulikov's not available for another 2 weeks, so I don't see that changing on your defense just because of injuries. But once he's back and he's available on the 26th, which technically would mean your last game's on the 20th, I think it's first, so you'd have 4 days off then. Would then be a possibility, because you have more depth on the back end, to send Bouchard down for 3 weeks in the American League? Was that the time you might consider it after that game on the 21st against Montreal, if you're still healthy?
I don't want to leave this thing and people say, oh, on the 21st, Evan Bouchard's going down. He's listening on the radio station. He's tuned into your show today and say, "Whoa, I'm going." Like I think right now it's business as usual for the next four games. You know, we're hoping to get, we're working on getting Dmitry on a plane here, I think on Wednesday, and then he obviously has to get up here and quarantine for 8 days. And we play four games in six nights. Dmitry will not be available for any of these first four games. And then coming out of there, we got another 4 day break. No, after Montreal, we get Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday off before we go to Winnipeg. So that's the first game that Dmitry Kulikov will be available to play. And then I'll assess where we're at. Do we have any injuries? You know, where are things at? And then certainly I would like to see Evan play some games, hopefully, preferably here in Detroit. Let's see what we do in the standings. You know, what's Dave Tippett thinking about getting some people some ice time as we go down the stretch, and then maybe I'll make some other decisions. But you know, I think Dave Tippett would like to have Bush in the lineup. I'd like to see him in the lineup. But at the end of the day, you know, on an every night basis, we're putting in a lineup that we think gives us the best chance to win. And Evan Bouchard is going to be a big part of this franchise going forward. You know, just not right now, but I know he's practicing hard. He's on the taxi squad. He's around the team. He's got a great attitude. And when he gets in, the coaching staff are going to have him ready to go. He's working hard behind the scenes.
Ken, we always appreciate your time. Thanks for this. Enjoy the playoff push.
Thanks, guys.